This in-depth show is being brought to you by Merchants Bank of Hastings.
Isn't it nice when you get to choose? Having options, especially when it comes to money management, helps you find the best tools to reach your goals. Hi, I'm Rika from Merchants Bank, and we believe you deserve to have your credit available to you when you need it, whether that's through a home equity line of credit or an overdraft line to protect your checking account. You get to choose. Let's talk about our flexible options. Give us a call at Merchants Bank. We're here to help you fulfill your hopes and dreams. Subject to approval, equal housing lender.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Guess what? We're going to talk about apples today. It's my favorite topic. And we have in studio with us today, Sever Sundgaard. He is with the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. He is their orchard manager, but as I like to call him, he is Johnny Appleseed. Can I just call you John?
Well, I replaced John, so I don't know if that's appropriate. So it's big shoes to fill.
So, Sever, how have you been? How are things at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center in general? We're coming off of the wonderful summer season, and I know that it's alive with visitors and with pollinators and with all sorts of things, and now heading into the fall, and that brings a new season changes, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it definitely feels like fall a little bit here. I got to work the whole weekend at Carpenter as a staff on site, so we were very busy, and people are, I think, we're excited to get out for their Labor Day weekend and before they got to get back to school. Some people are excited for school, some aren't, but it definitely feels like fall out there with the nice cool evenings and nights, and that's what we need for apples. We need warm, sunny days and cool evenings, just like what you think of in fall in Minnesota.
Well, you know, I know that some of the apples have been around for a long time at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. Would you tell me, please, about all the different varieties you have there?
Yeah, so we have about 14 different varieties. Most of them are University of Minnesota apples. I have a couple here, the earlier varieties. We have First Kiss, Sweet Tango, and Zestar. They're usually ready end of August, early September, so that's why I brought those in.
Thank you.
Those are some of the best apples I think we have.
And why do you think so?
Well, First Kiss and Sweet Tango and Zestar, they're all pretty new. The apples tend to get a little better every year with flavor and stuff, every new variety.
So when you say new, this is something that the University of Minnesota develops, which to me is just so bizarre that they develop apples. But can you explain how it all works, please?
I don't know exactly how they do their own pollination and stuff. That's as in-depth as we'll get with that. But and then when they're done with that, they bag up that flower so that a bee can't come and mix up the pollination with different pollen. So when they made the Sweet Tango, for example, they took the Zestar pollen and they took the Honeycrisp pollen.
Okay, because they both had different characteristics that they wanted to capture.
So yeah, they're like, hey, let's see what a Zestar and a Honeycrisp, what kind of baby that makes. And then they made Sweet Tango. And so when they did that pollination, then they bag it up so that the pollinators can't mix it up with, you know.
When you say bag it up, what are they? They're
bagging the actual flower up.
Oh.
So that the flower is now preserved with that pollination. That's how it was explained to me from the university, from the professors that have done all these apples.
And how old does an apple tree have to be to do this?
Well, once you have flowers at all, you can start doing stuff like that. But typically your tree that you're going to buy or see in the orchard is going to be producing apples between 3 and 5 years old. So your typical dwarf or semi-dwarf tree will start putting out a good crop load at 3 to 5 years.
So these three that you brought in today are new. And how do you think they get them to ripen so early? Or why are they some of the first apples that you have? Is that part of the whole process?
Yeah, so when they're breeding different varieties, they're looking for specific things. So in this case of the First Kiss, they wanted an apple that was ready for the state fair. So there is an old apple in Minnesota from the university that is called State Fair.
It is?
It's not nearly as good as the First Kiss. So they wanted one that could be for the state fair, but that would people that would actually want to buy and eat. So First Kiss is a big seller. At the fair, they've been selling it for $3 an apple. I don't think they sell it for that much anymore. But that came out a few years ago now. I think 2015 or 16 was when they released that.
Do they put it on a sticker? What do they do? Do they put caramel on it or something?
I think you can, but that's mostly, I actually worked the booth at the fair and everyone was just eating the apple itself. In my opinion, that's the way you're supposed to eat an apple, is just the way it comes.
Right.
The way God intended. So it's prepackaged. You don't need to do anything with
it's
an apple.
It's prepackaged.
When I see an apple in a Happy Meal that's cut up and put in a baggie, I'm like, why'd you waste plastic? It's already got a package. You don't need to.
It does. You just have to wash the package, don't you?
It helps, yeah. I usually wash the apples.
Okay.
You never know what happened to it.
No.
Doesn't hurt to wash it.
So those three are three of the 14. And then do you think that they maybe had them ripen early like this because we don't have a very long growing season?
Yeah, it certainly helps. The main goal for the University of Minnesota's breeding program, it's called Minnesota Hardy. They have a whole catalog of plants. In this
just
case,
like grapes and for vineyards,
yep,
too.
They have grapes. They have fruit trees. They have shrubs, all kinds of different stuff in that Minnesota Hardy catalog. And all that breeding program is meant to make sure that you have a product that can survive a Minnesota winter, because like you said, we do have a short growing season, but what really kills most plants is that cold winter freeze.
Oh, okay.
So as you move farther north, less and less apple trees can survive.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
So are we about as far north as you can get?
No, they grow apples actually like McIntosh. They're from Ontario. Not as probably cold area of eastern Ontario, but they grow apples in Canada, but it just, you really have to look at what zone it's rated for. Like frostbite is a University of Minnesota apple, and that's one of the coldest. That can grow up in zone 3, which is, as you're heading pretty far up north, we're in zone 4B here, so we're kind of not too bad, but we're starting to get cold.
What is the state that produces the most apples?
That'd be Washington.
It is, still Washington, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. What's funny, too, that I've explained to people is all the new varieties, whether it's Washington started their own breeding program to try to keep up, and they have a new apple called Cosmic Crisp. And all the new varieties that I have seen are half Honey Crisp.
So interesting.
This is half Honey Crisp, so that's First Kiss, and then this is Sweet Tango, that's half Honey Crisp. And then Cosmic Crisp, half Honey Crisp. They're not even like, I don't know. You can't make a better apple, so you got to have Honeycrisp involved somehow.
Exactly. Isn't that funny?
Yep.
So these three are done. And did you notice that the summer was tougher for apple trees, or was it easier? Because we had a lot of 90-degree days. Is that good for an apple? And we had a drought.
Yeah. So I actually did an interview with the Cottage Grove Journal last week.
Name dropping.
Yeah. So no big deal. And apple trees actually shut down at above 86 degrees. So once it's that hot, they just shut down and wait till it cools off.
How do they do that? What do you mean?
They stop producing chlorophyll through photosynthesis, because you're losing a lot of moisture through evapotranspiration.
Sure.
So when they're working, just like us, they're losing moisture.
Okay.
So they just stop producing until they're able to get cooler temperatures. So between 50 and 86 degrees is prime time for our apple trees. And unfortunately, diseases. So that's what we call a degree day. So every hour that's between 50 and 86 degrees is called a degree day, or DD, and we keep track of that for our pest management. And then also, so we know, okay, these apples should be ready soon because they need this many degree days, this many hours at that prime temperature.
And so each variety has its own particular number of days that until it's ready.
Yeah, so typically I kind of do it more, I get out there and look at the apples, we taste the apples, that's when we're ready to pick them.
That's a tough job.
Yeah. If you ever watch Dave Bedford from the U of M on the news, he's like, I taste thousands of apples a day. It's pretty funny.
He's appled out sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. He's been doing it for like 40 years, so.
Because it's not like another kind of crop where you would plant it a certain time and then you know when you're going to harvest it. The trees are already planted. So do they start the same time in the spring to develop their apples, flower then, or how does that work?
So that's all based on the bloom. Okay. For example, we used to have the apple blossom race, and that was aimed the idea was that weekend would be the apple blossom. But we can't predict that every year. It's going to be different. So that all just depends on how the weather decides, and then the plants respond and they produce a bloom. Most years we missed the bloom with the race, but ever since we stopped, we've been right on time with the race date. And so that's been kind of the running joke at Carpenter that we timed it up great once we quit doing the race.
So these apples are kind of different sizes. Is that typical?
Yeah, so this is a typical Zestar. They're a pretty nice big apple. Some of them aren't that big this year because of the warm drought that we had, warm summer, dry summer. These are a little small. These are usually a little bigger than that. Again, probably more because of the drought and a lot of different factors. But yeah, it just depends on the variety. Some varieties get bigger than others. Some of the Honeycrisp can get real big. Like I said, Zestars are usually pretty big. Connell Reds and Firesides, they're very big. They're like a softball. They'll get over a pound.
So these three are out now. What's coming down the pike? And then isn't Is it Last Kiss? Is that the... No. What's the very last one?
Well, usually the last one will be Keepsake or Harrelson's.
Oh. Where'd I get Last Kiss? Is that a name of an apple?
No, that's First Kiss. So,
Never
maybe
mind.
Maybe we need to make a Last Kiss.
I thought that was the last one. Okay. So those three are out. What comes next? What are we looking for next? What kind of apples?
Well, I just really started picking the Sweet Tango. So that's going to be the main one for now.
People are nuts for those too, aren't they?
Yeah. So Sweet Tango and Honeycrisp are by far number one sellers. They're pretty much tied if you look at the numbers.
And what's the difference, do you think, in taste?
Honeycrisp is not as sweet. I think it's more of a...
Tart.
It's a better, more mild flavor like. I like it a little better.
Okay.
Sweet Tango's a little tarter and a little sweeter than I probably really want in an apple.
Okay.
I don't need my apple to taste that candy-ish.
Okay.
First Kiss is nice and explosive.
Okay.
Even when I've done, like, private tours. For example, we'll have our gala this weekend. Everyone should sign up virtually for that. We've sold little VIP tours with me, and I'll cut open a First Kiss, and it literally, like, explodes. Like, as you cut into it, and it's got a nice kind of a pinkish hue, and it's just a really good apple. It's really, really nice. A little bit tartar than a Honeycrisp. That was one of the things they kind of got out of it. But it's got a nice, firm, and explosive bite to it. Zestar's a little bit softer, a little more sweet, not very tart at all. A lot of people like them. They're a good apple. Yeah, they just all have different characteristics. It's hard to explain the flavor profiles, but when you talk to some of the other apple... The breeders specifically, they have very specific terminology for, it's like almost talking to a winery or something, where it's like, personally, I just like the way it tastes, you know.
So these three are out now. What comes next? Haraldson? No.
We'll be starting to monitor the other varieties. Honeycrisp comes out mid to late September. Haraldson anytime too. Pretty much we'll keep picking Honeycrisp throughout the season. They don't all ripen at the same time, so we'll go through a couple rows of that.
Is that by design? Did you do that on purpose?
I don't know. That's just the way the Honeycrisp is. The nice thing about Sweet Tango or even Zestars are pretty much all ready right away. Like, once they're ready, they're ready. So, like, I went just this last hour before I came and checked on the Sweet Tangos, and they all look very much ready. So we'll just go through and pick everything, whereas Honeycrisp, we're going to be more selective. And same with Haraldson and some of the other varieties. We'll go through them more than once. And again, with Haraldson and Honeycrisp, they're very hardy. They're very tough. They're probably one of the tougher trees and varieties that I know of. You'll pick them right into snowfall. And then once we get a good hard freeze... Then the apples kind of, at that point, they've been frozen. You could pick them and freeze them, but they tend to bruise and stuff when they get frozen real good. So once we get a good hard freeze for winter, then the apples are left behind.
So you have all kinds of apples for us to come and take home. Do we pick them ourselves? Are they pre-picked? How does it work, please?
We mostly pick them ourselves. Me and my team, we've been doing it a while, so we try to do it ourselves. We try to get as much picked ourselves, and we'll sort them and bag them, so we'll have number ones and number twos.
You explain that, because that's kind of fun to watch how you sort them. I've actually seen that.
Yeah, so we've got a little old machine that's got some rollers on it, brushers, kind of like your car wash, and they'll roll on those brushes, and it'll clean up the kind of, if you can kind of see the like natural wax or powder that the apple has for protection, it'll kind of wash all that off. If there's a little bit of dirt or whatever, it kind of washes that off. Specifically, when we pull them out of the cooler, they'll start to sweat, and then that gives it a little bit of moisture, but not too much, and they'll go through the rollers, get brushed off nice, and they'll have a nice polished look to them, and then they get rolled down a conveyor belt, and then we'll adjust the sizes on the machine, so as they roll around on the circle, the bigger ones will keep going, the little ones will drop off, so we'll have a table of smaller apples and a table of bigger apples.
Are smaller apples more bitter?
No, I don't really see any flavor differences between a big and a small apple. I do think that a smaller apple keeps longer. Like,
oh,
this would probably keep better than like this, because I've actually kind of been doing experiments on my own. I'll save up apples and try to eat them as late as possible. For example, two springs ago, my wife and I ate a First Kiss. So it was picked mid-August, probably August 15th or 20th. And then we cut it open on April 29th.
What?
And it was excellent.
And how did you store it? Was it in the fridge?
Just in the fridge. And okay. Then in the bags that we sell the apples in.
The peck bags or whatever?
Yep, the half-peck bags that we normally have. They have just a couple holes in them to let a little bit of airflow.
Okay.
But for the most part, it allows that moisture to stay in there. So if you were to put the apple in the fridge, just like in the fridge, not in the crisper is ideal. It'll start to dry it out.
Okay.
So then they're farther enough away from the fans and stuff too.
Oh, okay.
So they're not getting dried out by like the airflow. But keeping it in a bag, or I also do the bushel box with a liner, which is a plastic liner. And that's where I stored my Honeycrisp, which I was eating into late June.
You mean like almost a year later? That June?
So I picked them mid to late September, boxed them.
That's 9 months.
Mid-October. They have a rating of 7 months storage, according to the U of M. Honeycrisp and First Kiss, but I'm trying to push it, see how far we can go.
No kidding. So that is what you would recommend, is that when we have apples, even if we get them at the grocery store, should we keep them in the refrigerator?
Yeah, if you want them to keep. I don't like my apples cold when I eat them.
Me neither.
So I'll usually put it out. Like if I want an apple that day at work, okay, I'll pull it out of the cooler and set it out for lunchtime or whatever, so okay, it's warm. I personally prefer my apple warmed up by the morning sunshine. So
oh, brother.
So we're out picking there at about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Johnny Appleseed.
Nice,
okay,
warm solar-powered apple.
You know, I think a warm apple would sound good. It reminds me of something that you would have with ice cream, right?
Yeah, especially when your feet are cold or it's raining or whatever. You don't know. Cool mornings, like I said, so a warm apple hits the spot.
Spirit, do they ever let you around people, or are you just pretty much with the apples?
Pretty much just the apples. I have a couple of hawks, like I told you before.
Who is the enemy of apples?
Well, we have a native bug, the apple maggot, that's native to Minnesota. That's the worm in the apple that you see in the cartoons or whatever else. That's always been one of our main pests. We have some funguses, specifically the fungus, which is apple scab. That's the other main one that I have to deal with. So when it's drier like this summer, we didn't have to worry about it as much. Certain varieties are more susceptible. Zestar really can be very scabby if it's given the opportunity. Sweet Tango a little bit, but like for example, Honeycrisp's got a resistance to apple scab. So the latest variety that U of M has released is half Honeycrisp and half Liberty. And those are two very good organic options because of their scab resistance. So they have two different genetic codes for scab resistance now because they got it from two different varieties.
And you don't put on pesticides and stuff?
We do when we have to. So if okay, I monitor the specific weather data, so we're looking at like what they call leaf wetness. So for how long the leaf is wet, that produces a scab infection period so that the spores are going to come up out of the ground and then attach onto that wet leaf or apple. So more importantly, that apple will end up being damaged just like a scab on your hand or something. And then the skin won't expand with that, and then it will start damaging the apple more and more. So that's the main one we're worried about. And of course, apple maggot. Nobody wants to bite into a worm. We have a couple other bugs too that we trap. There's an invasive that we're keeping an eye out for. The Department of Agriculture looks at brown marmorated stink bug. That's a big one that's wiped out orchards out east. It's throughout Minnesota now. So we're just monitoring and see what happens. Japanese beetle's annoying. I'm sure everybody at home has problems with those in their garden. They really like Honeycrisp leaves, and when you don't have leaves, you can't produce sugar for your apple. So that's just a nuisance for us too. They kind of disappeared on me. I had a bunch of them, and then all of a sudden they were gone. So it's fine by me.
Can we come out and get our apples? What are your hours, please?
And we'll be open every Wednesday through Sunday throughout the week until Thanksgiving. We'll be open 9 to 5 and can pre-order by phone or get on our website, carpenternaturecenter.org. You can look at all of our different stuff. We'll try to keep the website updated with apples, but we have different bird hikes, bird banding, different school programs for the kids to come out and check out the orchard. They'll learn all about pollinators and apples and anything else they can think of. We also have squash for sale. We have jams and jellies. We have honey.
It's very exciting.
Just like every other year.
And you have your big virtual gala this weekend.
Yes.
What's the date of that?
Sunday the 12th.
Okay.
And get on there and buy something cool and help us out, raise some money.
Thank you so much. Sverre Sundgaard, he is the orchard manager at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Isn't it nice when you get to choose? Having options, especially when it comes to money management, helps you find the best tools to reach your goals. Hi, I'm Rika from Merchants Bank, and we believe you deserve to have your credit available to you when you need it. Whether that's through a home equity line of credit or an overdraft line to protect your checking account, you get to choose. Let's talk about our flexible options. Give us a call at Merchants Bank. We're here to help you fulfill your hopes and dreams. Subject to approval. Equal housing lender.
This in-depth has been made possible by Merchants Bank of Hastings.